you die. Full stop.
Now, however, as she drifted over the symmetrical gardens of Wallenstein Palace, she felt very much alive. She watched the snow falling around her, or through her. And oddly, she sensed no cold at all. It was as if her mind were simply hovering in space, with all reason and logic intact. "I have brain function," she told herself, "so I must be alive." All Gessner could conclude was that she was now in the throes of what medical literature termed an OBE, out-of-body experience, a hallucination that occurred when critically injured patients were resuscitated after clinically dying. OBEs almost always presented in the same manner, the perception that one's mind had been temporarily separated from its physical body, floating upward and hovering without form. Despite feeling like real experiences, OBEs were nothing but imagined journeys, usually triggered by the effects of extreme stress and hypoxia on the brain, sometimes in conjunction with emergency room anesthetics like ketamine.
"I am hallucinating these images," Gessner assured herself,
gazing down at the dark curve of the Vltava River snaking through the city.
"If this is an OBE, then I must be in the process of dying."
Surprised by her own calm, Gessner tried to remember what had happened to her.
"I am a healthy 49-year-old woman. Why would I be dying?"
In a blinding flash, a frightening memory materialized in Gessner's consciousness. She now realized where her physical body was lying at this very instant, and, even more terrifying, what was being done to her. She was on her back, tightly strapped into a machine she herself had created. A monster stood over her. The creature looked like some kind of primordial man who had crawled out of the earth. His face and hairless skull were coated with a thick layer of filthy clay, cracked and fractured like the surface of the moon. Only his hate-filled eyes were visible behind his earthen mask. Crudely etched across his forehead were three letters in an ancient language.
"Why are you doing this?" Gessner had screamed in panic. "Who are you? What are you?"
"I am her protector," the monster replied. His voice was hollow, his accent vaguely Slavic. "She trusted you, and you betrayed her."
"Who?"
Gessner demanded. The monster spoke a woman's name, and Gessner felt a stab of panic.
"How can he possibly know what I have done?"
An icy weight materialized in her arms, and Gessner realized the monster had started the process. An instant later, an unbearable pinpoint of pain blossomed in her left arm, spreading along her median cubital vein, clawing its way sharply toward her shoulder.
"Please, stop," she gasped.
"Tell me everything,"
he demanded as the excruciating sensation reached her armpit.
"I will,"
Gessner frantically agreed, and the monster paused the machine, halting the pain at her shoulder, though the intense burning remained. Racked with terror, Gessner spoke as quickly as she could through clenched teeth, frantically revealing the secrets she had vowed to keep. She answered his questions, divulging the disturbing truth about what she and her partners had created deep beneath the city of Prague. The monster stared down at her from behind his thick clay mask, his cold eyes flashing with comprehension and hatred.
"You've built an underground house of horrors," he whispered. "You all deserve to die."
Without hesitation, he turned the machine back on and headed for the door.
"No!"
she shrieked as the agony seized her anew, surging through her shoulder and into her chest.
"Please don't leave. This will kill me."
"Yes. Yeah.